welcome to a special edition of From the Bench with Dench, and your host here, Denny Rittenhouse, and we've got a plethora of people here in today's show, a very special show, a dedication to the late Dennis Warfler, who the founder and operator of BulldogRadioHighland.com, who sadly passed away a few weeks ago. And some of the crew that has worked for Dennis over the years has gotten together here this evening to pay a little tribute to him and talk about the memories of Dennis, how we came to know him, and some of the things we did with Dennis and interacting and making Bulldog Radio a fine piece of work for the city of Highland and especially Bulldog Athletics over the past few years. And so we'll let guys introduce themselves as they come along here, and we start talking about Dennis. And I'm going to turn it over to Rodney Knacks. And many of you know Rodney from a lot of the broadcasts that have been going on over the years with Bulldog baseball and Bulldog football. And Rodney, I'm going to turn it over to you. You're the crew here, the one who's known Dennis the longest and met him first, I suppose, as all of us have came on board a little later. So let's talk a little bit about how you got to know Dennis Warfler.
Well, our son Jeremiah was dating his daughter Jamie shortly after they moved here. I believe that was in 2001 or 2000, somewhere in that area. And Dennis and Bonnie and my wife and I, we became good friends. Eventually down the road, Dennis started working at 1510, an AM station that Bob Romanek had. And he came up with the idea to broadcast the high school baseball games. And so him and I started out broadcasting them through 1510. And things kind of went south with some of those stations. And so Dennis said, I'm going to start my own radio station. And he did. And so him and I broadcast the baseball games the first year. And then after that, he stayed home and ran the board. Bonnie ran it that first year. And I broadcast with about four different people in baseball, all good, a lot of fun, and then got into the football with Smarge, and then with you. And Dennis is going to be sorely missed in the sports community because so many people relied on hearing Bulldog Sports live.
Well, it's funny you mentioned he started at 1510. When I first moved to Highland in 1989, 1510 was the station carrying Bulldog Sports, and I got to listen to the broadcast of Billy Greenwald's team back in the day, and I was a big fan of Highland Sports, and I picked a great year to move here, let me tell you that. Because that was some phenomenal football back then, and it's as legendary as the LaPorta years were, because people until the LaPorta team would always reference that 1989 team, and I was just sucked into the magic that Highland Sports can captivate people in the area. And I've always been a high school fan. And up to that point, I wasn't in broadcasting yet, but I fell in love with it. You go out to the stadium, and man, it was just nothing like I'd seen. And I grew up in East St. Louis, and attended games down in Belleville and East St. Louis quite a bit, and never a crowd like you would see at a Highland game, and it was magical. So that's cool. I didn't know that part of where he got that start at 1510. Eventually 880 took over on Bulldog Sports, and that's where I got involved. I started at Winu back in the day. So
okay.
So neat story how you came across and ran into Dennis, and he just took it upon himself to teach himself.
Yes,
Well, do an internet station.
He was a radio personality in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He was on. He was a DJ there.
Right.
And I've seen pictures of when he was, still spinning the records and all that.
So he did music. He wasn't
correct.
Okay, wasn't
correct.
Like talk radio or anything.
No.
Like Johnny Fever.
Oh, really? WKRP.
Don't forget to introduce yourself.
Oh please. Yeah, I'm sorry, Darren Altadonna.
Chris Ebel.
Sean Bagley.
Mike Smarjesse.
Jeremy Beard.
All right, and Denny Rittenhouse here, and so yeah, thanks. I probably should have started that.
No, that's okay.
From the get-go, so he decided, I can't buy a tower and a station. I've always had kind of similar aspirations from the terrestrial perspective. I never really gave much thought to internet radio.
He brought that up to me, and he asked me what I thought, and I said, Dennis, with the way the world is heading, I think you're going to be ahead of your time. And it turned out perfect because he moves to Texas. We didn't miss a beat, kept it going. You can be in another country and listen to this. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people would be on vacation. Your dad, for one, Sean.
Yeah.
They'd be listening. Well, so we tried to give those people a shout out whenever we knew they were listening to us. And
I remember week 8, I think it was, you and him are calling a game in Muscoota. The Indians were 7-0, I think, at that point, a couple seasons ago. And I was in a hotel room in northern Wisconsin doing some fall leaf tour or something. And I'm going to listen to this game. So you're right. From far and near, you can.
Yeah.
We get texts all the time from people saying, hey, Jeff Brown would text, hey, we're on our way to wherever. I think they were on the way actually to see Sam play at Iowa one weekend. And on the Friday night, they were driving up to Iowa City, and they said, hey, we're listening to the game, and you guys are doing a good job. We'd always give shout-outs to anybody we knew that could. And that kind of made it, I guess, real that people are listening. And we were just talking about this outside before we came in here, that, you never know how big the audiences were, but you knew people were listening because you'd get a note here or there, a text here or there, or just a word Dennis would say, or somebody would say, hey, so-and-so player's grandparents are listening in Wisconsin tonight, so-and-so is listening here in Florida, so you knew that people were listening, and like you said, it kind of brought, those people probably were at one point a part of the Highland community, and that probably made them feel more like they were still part of the Highland community.
Well, and when Matt Militia was playing baseball, one of his sets of grandparents they're not in this area. And so they came and got lucky enough to go watch a game, but they wanted to meet myself just because they knew the voice and they listened. They could listen to these games. They listened to all of them that we had on the air. And basically in baseball, we did all home games. And last year we did all home games plus even the away conference games. But we did not do all the away games. I mean, baseball's got a big schedule.
Right.
There was a time I did some baseball also.
And yes.
There were times when Dennis would just say, hey, Mike, can you go do a game, in Jerseyville? And our oldest was playing, so I had no problem with it. I remember I sat on the front row of three rows of bleachers at Waterloo Jabot with my phone in one hand, my headset on, and I did the game just like that. And people were looking at me, and I had a little scorebook there, and I'm thinking, somebody's listening to this, so I'm going to go ahead and, and it's just, it was just, you just did what you did, and it's enjoyable. It still is.
I do miss it already. And you mentioned about how many people listening. I know in football, it was not uncommon that we would have over 2,000 people listening. I don't know about baseball. I never really asked Dennis, how many people were listening to the baseball, but he could see that. He knew how many people were logged in.
Yeah.
You
must not have had many shots.
So,
he never told us.
He must not have much of a follow.
Well, yeah.
You can't count yourself.
So, Sean, Chris, Jeremy, they did the barbershop quartet along with Dennis. So why don't you guys talk on that a little bit?
Well, Dennis came into to our photography studio and wanted to sell advertising. And I kind of talked to him a little bit and found out what his vision was. And I said, I do want to be a part of that. And I don't know that the sponsorship itself was all that great for us, but I felt like the service was really good for the community. And in order for it to stay operational, that he would need support from the local businesses to keep everything going. And I knew that it was good for the community, and people would listen to football games and basketball games, baseball games. So through there, Dennis and I started talking, and then he wanted to do kind of a local radio show, like a show, and I said, well, I said I could be a part of it, but I know just the guy. There was nothing like I told Dennis.
Hi, Jeremy.
There's only one guy I know that can fill up an hour with the radio time. So that's where Jeremy came in, and Jeremy and I kind of beat our heads together and came up with the barbershop, and we had all sorts of guests.
That was fun. I listened quite often. That was before I even got involved, or right after I started.
Yeah, it was. And it was fun because we tried to help with not only where we're doing this, it was kind of fun for us, but also, you know, he was trying to create advertisement. We were trying to pull business owners to come out and talk about their businesses and kind of help create that and get that rolling. And then within that, we started bringing in, you know, past players from town. You know, Sam Laporta come sat with us. Tanner Farmer came out. Coach would come out and talk about what's going on, you know. And we didn't always leave it to football. We had
Matt Mallard was on there.
Yeah, we
well, I called Mallard. So we had Mark and Gail Holthaus, and Gail and her fantastic Greg Holthaus Foundation. And fundraising on the AEDs she was placing around town. And so you guys spread it out real well.
Yeah, and we had, we even had some of the city people in.
Yeah.
Remember Joe Michaelis came in?
Yeah, we had Joe come out and sat with us one day.
And the basketball coach.
Yeah.
The basketball coach came on.
Yeah.
You had some sort of I seem like I remember a Veterans Day show, because they do a Veterans Day celebration thing at the high school, and I feel like you had somebody you came on or talked about the Veterans Day parade.
We did.
Gonna be out there at that.
We did, because that at that time, my dad served with a gentleman by the name of Bill Schutte, mm-hmm. who was a prisoner of Vietnam.
Yes.
For eight years.
Yep.
And so after that week, and when he came into town, he went out to the high school and all that stuff, and I think we talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about it quite a bit on the show, about that scenario, just because I had just talked with the man, and it was kind of fresh in my mind, I guess. Yeah.
Quite the impression, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to throw this out there, Sean, because I know Dennis, he told me more than once how much he appreciated you. You were pretty much one of the first sponsors to come on board. And you were just consistent all the time.
Yeah.
And he really appreciated that.
Well, I just felt like the service that he was providing was just great for the community. Just a way for people to, because I know, you know, there's times that I can't go to a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game, but I still want to hear what happens. I want to hear how the kids do. Even if I don't personally have a kid playing, I care about how they do. So I want to turn it on and hear it, and hear who's doing well, hear who's having a good season, and I got to think that other people want the same thing.
Well, and then Chris and Darren, you guys joined on shortly after and stayed full-time. Dennis would talk to me a lot about the early sponsors and the ones that were there year in, year out, and how much he appreciated you.
So, Chris, you come on board solely as a sponsor then?
When Dennis first was transitioning through the radio stations, he started talking to me about some marketing and building, you know, this Bulldog Radio and all that.
The branding,
just kind of getting some marketing ideas and some things that I could help him out with. So I did have some conversations like that at the beginning. And then he went into the sponsorship, so we started sponsoring this show not too long after you guys did. Then he's like, yeah, Chris, I know you always wanted to be on the radio because we talked about it. And I'm like, that's really cool you're doing that. And you really have a face for it. So, why don't you try this out with these guys? They're going to do this barbershop show. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. So, you know, we did have a great time doing it. I really appreciate Dennis pulling me in to that atmosphere because I never was comfortable with it before, really. I didn't think it was something I should do. But he did build that show and did the sportscasting thing, and I always thought it was a great thing to have it available. Just like Sean was saying, if you're out of town, you got kids playing, you can't go to all the kids' games. It was a good thing. Then later, the end of this last year, you know, me and Dennis have been friends for a long time. We were at Masonic Lodge together. We did some events together, like some trivia nights and things like that. He was really awesome. But the end of last year, he wanted to bring back like a show like Barbershop, and he kind of put me personally into it, and I started doing a show called Get Into Highland, you know, and me and him decided it, you know, it's Highland focused, so let's get people in that are part of Highland, that, you know, let's get more information about what's in Highland out there through the show. So I did have a lot of guests that he recommended, and I kind of fished through and tried to pick out people that I had good conversations with, so I didn't have a lot of dead air time. And Jeremy was the first guy that came on, and I mean, that was easy. Turn on the microphone, let's go.
In my radio days, I once had a chance to interview Ted Nugent, and that's exactly what I did. So, Ted, what are you in town for? I didn't say another word. So, yeah, and that's great. And for our listeners, Chris, the owner of owner, I assume?
Yeah.
Digital Arts here in town, does a lot of signage work and other marketing materials and stuff. So a longtime sponsor, Sean, of course, Vaguely Photography, also a longtime sponsor. And Darren, everybody's had their teeth worked on by Darren. up there at the Smile Shop. How'd you come on board,
Dan? Well, I was just thinking about that. It's kind of strange how this all happened. You and I have talked before. I grew up in Centralia, and Centralia still has a radio station. They have a terrestrial, but then it's also online. You know, Breeze, they announce Central and Modern Day games, and that's kind of how I got involved. So Bruce Moose Lloyd was, and I don't even remember the radio station he was doing. He was branching out. He decided he's going to come over and do Highland games, and this was back even before any of my kids were playing. And I see him come in, and Moose and I graduated high school together from Centralia. And so I'm like, Moose, what the heck are you doing in Highland? And he's like, well, I'm going to do some Highland basketball games. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So I'd see him, and he'd do it by himself, and his girlfriend, now wife, would kind of help out with some stuff. And I saw him another game, and then I saw him over at Muskuta, and he looked like he was struggling a little bit. And I'm like, hey, do you need some help with anything? And he goes, you know what? What are you doing next week? I go, he goes, you want to do the Highland Triad game with me at Highland? And I'm like, absolutely, sure. So I get on with Moose, and I did radio. We used to do the Modern Day Tournament for Highland games. We would do a lot of...
So was that your first time on the radio?
That was my first time on the radio like legit stuff. Yeah. and so I say that because I have some buddies from Centralia that used to have a program just like what you guys did. They called it Three Guys and a Mic. And it was basically a Saturday morning. And
I've listened to that.
Yeah, and they were just, I mean, it was just a lot of stuff that if you weren't in the know of what they were talking about, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But if you knew, like, what they had done on Friday night, it made a whole lot of sense what they were talking about on Saturday kind of thing. But so Moose and I started doing radio, and we probably did, I'm thinking, 2 or 3 years worth of that. And then Moose either got let go or changed jobs where he was, and so he wasn't doing it anymore. And that's somehow I got hooked up with Dennis, and I don't remember if it was Smarg saying something about it.
That was the exact same way I got it. I did a... 2 seasons with Moose of Highland football. And Moose was going to move on, and I remember sitting at home and during the summer, and I think I got a phone call, I think it was from Dennis, but he told me that he knew Rodney, and Rodney's daughter worked with my wife, and somehow or another person who knows somebody else, and he asked me if I'd be interested, and I said, I lived for 10 years up in northwestern Illinois, up near the Quad City area, and high school football in northwestern Illinois and the state championships that have come out of that area is immense, and it seems like every Friday night you could find a high school game on the radio, and when I moved down here, that wasn't the case. You'd have to go searching for them. Right. So when Moose first asked me to, and I listened to games on, it was 880, is that what it was? Uh-huh. Yeah, I listened to games on there, but it'd be hit or miss, you know. And so when Moose asked me, I jumped at the chance. I got to do some games up in northern Illinois when I was up there. So I jumped at that chance. And then when he was gone, I thought, okay, well, I'll just go and enjoy games now. And then we got a phone call, and I said, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. And Rodney and I went and did a game in Alton.
Yep.
That was that would have been Sam, Jacob, Jack, that group. That would have been their senior year, their first game.
Yep.
And we didn't. In reality, really didn't know what we were doing, but we did miss a beat. And then,
well, but you are a natural. You could really do this for a living, and I'm not joking there. You're so easy to feed off of.
You're saying I talk a lot, I think.
Yeah.
You you were easy to feed off of, and I was nervous when Dennis was going to take your place, and it turned out it worked out great because you also made it easy for me, because you know I can't do the play by play like you guys can, you know, just the color. But you're awesome, man.
Well, I appreciate it, and I remember we had a great time doing it, and I think even just throughout the season, one way or the other, it got to a point where, hey, basketball. And I remember I did some basketball games.
Yeah, we did some basketball.
We did some together. And I officiate basketball, too. So I remember telling Dennis, hey, I won't be able to do a whole lot of games. And, boy, he kept after me, though. How about this day? I'm like, nope, I've got a game. How about this? How about tomorrow? I've got a game. And
he, you know how few officials there are in the country today?
Yeah. He was relentless. So instead of talking bad about the officials up in the, on the mic, I was down there being talked about about how bad I was doing out there.
Darren did one of your games. He owes you an apology. Yeah.
Well, and you did the girls' basketball for how many years?
Yeah, so I inserted myself. I was coming into a Highland football game, and I saw some kind of banner or flyer.
Did you make
trying to promote Bulldog Radio?
Probably.
And they're handing them out at the
we had flyers, and then we had a big banner we were putting on the screen.
So I'm walking into a game one Friday night, and I see this banner. I said, "Who's doing this?" And one of the gals said, "You know, it's a internet station." And I said, "Wow, do you know them?" You know, so because my background, I got into radio in the '90s, and I started at WinU. And was doing some color commentary, and quickly moved into play-by-play. And I did like 6 years in the '90s in the Tommy Wells era, if you will. And some of you guys probably remember him.
Oh yeah, that was my era.
Yeah, yeah. So I did Nathan Reeder. Yeah. I still had a tape of Nathan from my first. That was my first play-by-play game. It was Nathan's first game at quarterback.
Oh really?
And, I saw him up at Central 2 seasons ago, and I gave him the tape, so I had it on thumb.
I was a junior when those guys were seniors.
Okay.
I'll be.
Yeah. Those were fun teams. That was a pretty talented team. When you sold off to the Mexican station cartel or whatever, and so I stepped aside for a few years. It's always been a hobby job. I've never made money at it. And so did some broadcasting for WGEL throughout the 2000s, a lot of the Odorizzi years. We would do tape delay. They would carry Greenville live, and then they would carry us after the Greenville game. Did that for about 6 years, and then I was off for about another 6 years or so. And I see this flyer at the game, and I said, "Do you know them?" I forget. It could have been one of your wives. Because I didn't know your kids were playing at that time, and yours were probably too. And so I was like, "Does he need any help?" And she said, "Yeah, I think they're looking for somebody for backup." So it might have been yours, because I think I did a game or two that season
for you. I think you did. Yeah.
And,
you and I did two games together because not the same season.
Right.
Mike used to not like to do triad at triad.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I know you and I did a little
awkward,
if not
a little awkward being the employee at triad. Oh. I go up the press box and all my coworkers are up there and I'm going, "Touchdown Bulldogs!" You know, and getting into it. And
last year he didn't care anymore though. He was
they started sending us across the way.
You did about in the
bleachers across the field. Yep. And but I at that point I was like, "That's fine. I'll stand in the snow out here if I have to."
Yes.
Yeah.
Edwardsville did that to us too.
Yes, they did.
They got press socks. They got me.
Yeah.
We were out in the rain at Edwardsville.
Yes, we were.
But the worst was that playoff game.
At Walmart,
we had people holding the tent that we bought that day at Walmart.
Yeah,
it got ripped. Yeah, it was. That was a bad one.
And the game wasn't much better either.
Yeah. Well, that kid just ran for over 500 yards.
Yeah, he had like six or seven touchdowns. It was. It was a long night.
Yeah, it was a whole night. That was the beauty of Bulldog Radio, though. It wasn't just the boys' side. I mean,
right.
They did the girls' side. They, you know, this year they had people that were doing every game of the girls, which
right.
which I thought was great. I mean, yep. you know, there's no reason that they shouldn't get the pub. That
right.
The
is that what Matt did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt and Luke did pretty much every single girls' game. Like, it used to be they like you would do the home games.
Yeah,
and they were doing
a couple
games.
Seasons of that, and then but yeah, I just assumed Dennis didn't want to do the away budgetary wise or something like that,
right.
perhaps. But it did bother me because I do sometimes have a hard time squeezing stuff in. As I would tell Dennis, I got a real job. I'd rather do this play job.
Yeah.
Than,
well, and this year he was hoping to expand and do some girls softball.
Okay.
He wanted me to look at their schedule compared
yeah.
to the baseball schedule and see
right.
if there were any that I could get to.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, we didn't get to fulfill that dream of his.
Sure.
But he did want to include the girls softball.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was always a great thing about it. It was equal opportunity as much as it could be.
Right, right. It made me a fan, a bigger fan of girls. I did some girls back in the 90s. We covered the Highland Tournament a few times when Courtney Smith and some of the other great local talent in Clinton County, Hoshiders in Oakville.
Right.
They had some monster tournaments then, and we would cover them. But for the most part, they were neglected.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a credit to Dennis is the fact that he wanted to include the girls and baseball, softball, basketball, whatever, football, and so on. And but I know it's probably the same way when he moved to Texas, but when he lived here, that meant either he or Bonnie had to be downstairs
yes.
taking care of things. And so if you have during basketball season, you may have a boys game on, you may have a girls game on Monday, a boys game on Tuesday and Friday, a girls game on Thursday, maybe a tournament or a shootout
right.
game on
yeah.
Saturday. And then, so credit to him for wanting to get all that stuff on there because that would have taken time away from what he and Bonnie were doing anyway. So
yeah,
and
people
that,
don't realize how much
yeah,
time
yeah.
he spent in his studio.
Right, right.
Which ended up in the closet down in Texas, and I was there. It is a very small
room.
Yes, you can get claustrophobic in that thing.
But we had plenty of room when you guys did the barbershop
yeah.
show too.
Down oh,
down in
his basement.
Yeah,
that
here,
was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he had a collection of NASCAR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd never seen so much NASCAR stuff.
He did.
He was a
there
big
was
NASCAR
everywhere.
Fan.
I mean, all kinds of stuff down there.
A lot of autograph stuff.
Yeah.
And he got them in person. You know, he would get passes to be down into the what do you call the center part?
The infield?
Infield, thank
okay.
you. Yeah. He was an interesting person.
Well, he was. He, you know, when I first met him, and I had given him a call and said, hey, I'm interested in joining you if you need some help and stuff. And he said, yeah, come on out. And I went out to his house and we talked for a while. And our backgrounds were amazingly similar, right? He grew up having a passion for radio. And on the
mm-hmm.
East Coast, at his age, you know, he had some icons in radio back then. And he had it in his blood. And I could tell at the moment I met him, because I've had it my whole life, a passion for radio. I was Harry Carey growing up, you know, imitating Harry Carey and Jack Buck and broadcasting games at our grade school. You know, I'd sit there and do the proverbial take a tape recorder with me stuff when I was 11 years old. So I had it in my blood, and it's like, well, that's cool. And he goes, but he said, and I got a degree in broadcasting, which I do, and we both ended in different careers, much different careers than what our growing up we wanted to be was. He is a warehouse manager, I believe.
He ended up, he was with Dial Soap there and then ended up at the warehouses out there off of 270.
Right. And I ended up in computer security. It has nothing to do with athletics and sports and broadcasting. And, you know, and so we go our own way. And he had that passion, and you could just feel his passion for what he was doing. And he wanted to do it right. And you know, like we said, walking in here, it ain't the first time we've had struggles getting started. But he always saw it through and figured something out. But I really realized how much Dennis and I were alike at his funeral. When his daughter, his sister-in-law got up to speak,
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember this, but she was talking and said, you know, he came into my life when I was 4 or 5 years old. You know, he's just like a big brother to me from that point on. And I got a sister-in-law when I met my wife, I came into her life when she was 4 or 5 years old. And I'm sitting there watching that funeral going, how much more alike can we be? She was. Yeah. Come on, Dennis.
Yeah.
And so.
Kelly and I and Todd and Perry, we drove down there and we were at the funeral. And it was very nice. The people there at the church they go to were very friendly. They were all welcomed us there, you know. Dennis was a very interesting person as far as when it came to radio. He definitely was in his blood. And no matter what kind of trouble, if he had to spend the money to get a new piece of equipment, he had it. So we were ready the next game already, you know.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I remember we were doing a baseball game, and I think I was doing that game with Adam Kozier, and we're in about the fourth inning, and I finally see my phone, and my wife texting out on the air. About that time, Dennis comes on and says, guys, we're not on the air, but just keep broadcasting like we are. I hope we'll get you back. We got the whole game done, and I said, well, did you get us back on? Nope. We'll have you on next week.
I had something similar happen up in Springfield on a super sectional game with the girls. And I don't know if one of you guys were with me, but yeah, the reception was just horrible.
Yeah.
And was at Springfield College, they play those super sectionals, and we just couldn't get through for nothing.
Well, up at Morton.
Heck, that happens.
I ended up dropping off, and you ended up going into your phone instead of the box, and you just did it yourself for a while.
We had a high-pitched... Every dog in Morton was barking like crazy that night, but it was piercing.
It would hurt your ears.
And so, we just plugged into the phone. And
so he plugged into his phone, and I said, hey, you just take it, and I helped hold the tent down.
It all blew away, I think, or it ripped apart or something.
Oh, man.
But these were the exceptions. For the most part, everything came off cleanly. And having worked at Win U for 6 years, I know what desperation really looks like. I mean, that was horrible. And so
we felt
really appreciated what he had.
Yes.
Headsets was, wow, when you never thought of that.
Well, there's never a shortage of times when something would go wrong that the listening public would let you know. I'd get texted to Sean, hey, you're not on the air.
Yeah.
Is the game started? Because you're not on the air yet. I know, we're working on it. You know, I'm trying to text him. Rodney's texting Dennis. You know, it's back and forth.
Yep.
And a couple times it really, we'd be on the air, and then when we would hook up to the school system is when they would lose us.
Yeah, that's what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, like there's certain schools. You go to Muscoota, and it's like you're inside a metal shed or something. You can't get a signal in there, so you're trying to hold your phone, you know, because you're doing it through the internet. Hold your phone a certain way to be able to get a signal to stay on the air.
Look at that guy down there. What's he doing?
I know. So.
See, that's what was nice about doing it at his house.
You didn't worry about that at all.
The only thing that ever happened to us is the mic was left on after
the show was over. Oh, Jeremy, how many beeps did you get on that one?
That was about 18 pack in by about the time. He told me after that I had no more 18 packs.
I'm going to bring it down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a good segue to Jeremy. We haven't explored your initial encounters with Dennis and how you got involved.
Well, like Sean had said, we had always dabbled in our own little world of Facebook Live and just messing around with this kind of stuff, and I'd always told Sean, I kind of like this kind of stuff, and so he called me and said, you want to do this? And I said, yeah, let's give it a shot. And I had never met Dennis before at all, you know. And I was, it's funny because I was telling these guys outside, you know, I'd have me a few beers before we got over to get loosened up a little bit, you know, and then we'd get to roll it down there on that show, and I never could tell whether he was, you know, pissed off at me, or if he liked it, or what, because he always, you know, he was always busy doing his thing, and I was like, man, I don't know if he's or if he's just busy over there, because I'm not getting no reaction out of it at all, you know. But he must have liked it, because he kept us coming back for more, so. But no, we did that for a while with him, you know, and like I said, there, you know, I knew he'd gotten sick, you know, and moved down to Texas and stuff, and, you know, when we, it started off with me and Sean, and then we, when Chris came in, which was huge, because then we kind of had three people to bounce off of, because a lot of times he was busy back at the computer, and he would chime in and talk when he could, but he was kind of busy doing stuff, so we could never really get a full conversation going with him. So when Chris come on, it was great, because then we had, would had three, and then we'd bring guests on back and forth to make it more of like a circle talk of, amongst people.
Do you remember Party Marty? You had him on there one time. I remember that.
You did have Craig Marty on there.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, really? I bet that was a heck of a show.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you bring Target?
But I think that's what he liked. I think he wanted something that was, we would try to make it a little bit serious at times, but I think he was looking for that too, that something for somebody to listen to get a laugh out of, and not all seriousness. But we did throw stuff in there to kind of help promote, you know, with it. But it was basically a get-together and Chatty Cathy session, you know, about what had happened a week before in Highland or just whatever was going on, you
and
know.
That was the idea. Of, you know, that's why we called it the barbershop, because,
yeah,
you know, to kind of remind you of, you know, when you seen the old barbershops from back in the days with all the old men sitting around cutting it up. And that
sure.
was kind of the concept behind the whole thing.
We had the coolest intro music.
it was the Andy Griffith Show.
Really?
But the song that he's whistling in that is called The Fishing Hole.
Yeah.
That was
I'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny.
But, yeah, that's kind of how I got in, and then we was just talking about that. Then the COVID had kind of come about then, and he had kind of, that's kind of when the onset of kind of some of the issues he was having, and, you know, things kind of dissipated there, and we tried to get it to go back together. We just couldn't get things lined up, and I had gotten sick at the time too, and wasn't real interested at the time, and we just never could get things to kind of gel back into something. But
yeah,
I enjoyed it when we did it. I will say
it was fun.
Oh yeah, yeah.
My first introduction to Jeremy doing a show was back in 2016. You remember that?
When we was up in Maine.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did. We went on a bear hunting trip, and when you're talking with guys from the far northeast, they have a thick accent. Well, Jeremy decided to host a show right there at camp. If you're on YouTube, pick up the Jeremy Beard Show. You'll find it.
I will do it.
We've gotten flashcards out. One of our buddies had a young kid at the time, and he had flashcards in his truck. So we got them flashcards out and was going through there making them guys say those words.
Well, we pulled out. We were slugging. We were slugging on the flashcards. Every flashcard we pulled out ended with an R.
So we could go through them and make, no, that's not how you say that.
Pop the con.
We had fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. I lived in Northern Maine 4 years, so I know exactly the characters you were dealing with.
it was funny. So,
so Dennis did like that. He liked it to be loose at times and at times serious. He'd cut in not so much on football, especially if we were connected to the high school, but if we weren't connected to that, he might cut in and say something funny. Baseball, he would do it quite often. Just all of a sudden, he'd come in and make a comment out of the blue. And, you know, it just added a little humor, and the people liked it.
Give you an update of another game, too. I always appreciate it
right.
when you could jump in.
Yes, he would do that.
Because that's hard to do when you're doing the play-by-play, and it's Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go try and get on Twitter.
I'll tell you one thing he was really proud of. I talked to him not too long ago, and and he was, of course, talking about the barbershop, and he's like, why don't you guys do one more show? And I'm like, well, who do you want as a guest? He says, well, Sam LaPorta. I'm sure you do, but he's not exactly easy to get a hold of these days. And that's it's because we did, when he was at Iowa, Jeremy brought him in, we did one show with him, and he was like, you know, Bonnie and I watched all the Detroit games. We thought, you know, that guy was in our house when we lived in Ireland, and he was really proud of that.
Yeah,
Well, that's fun. We all say that. Yeah, sure.
You know, there was something about him, you mentioned it several times, just you knew that it was special. I don't know if any of us knew NFL superstar special, but we knew it was special.
Yeah, I think you definitely knew it was, you definitely knew it was Division I. I've known the whole family for the years that I've, you know, when Jacob and Sam were 6 years old playing baseball, you kind of knew the whole family, that work ethic and that drive that they all had, as is proven by all of Joe and Stacy's daughters, all the success they've had as well. And so, yeah, you kind of had a feeling that there was probably something special there. And, and again, credit to, you know, that was the first year we did Bulldog Radio for football games, was Sam's senior year. Because I remember the junior year, I was doing stuff with Moose.
I was going to say, because you guys were on the air. That was
your cameras.
Okay.
So well, he was talking about him and I together.
And that was the first time that we did, and so that's one reason why I was really glad that Dennis came along or I got a phone call, because I thought, is this going to be like a one and done thing, since Moose was no longer doing the football stuff? Is it going to exist anymore? And so when he said that, I jumped at it, and like I said, the rest is history. It's been very successful. It still is.
Yes.
And then when you add in basketball and the baseball and the girls basketball and so on, you know, it's been a good run.
He put just a buttload of hours in down there and was glad to do it. He never once complained about it. Obviously, if he's wanting to add even more with the girls softball.
Right.
Just a quick note on what you were talking about, the Laportas. What a great family, all of them. They're all good people.
Yeah.
And like you said, good work ethic, just good people, and you love to see success come to good people. So that's a little nothing to do with
this, but. No, it does, because Dennis loved it.
Oh, he did.
He absolutely loved the Laportas. And,
yes.
And, you know, he would tell me, he would ask me, so is that Bella as good an athlete as Sam? Because, you know, I'd be calling these.
They remember that on our show when Sam said that?
He said the most talented in the family, is what he told us. That's what Joe tells. My wife works with Joe.
Yeah.
And that's what he tells her. Well, she's the most talented.
Yeah.
Sam told us we were sitting at the table in Dennis's basement, and Jeremy asked him the question, said, who's the best athlete in the family? And Sam said, it's my little sister. And
he was like,
I wouldn't agree with his assessment, but
the opportunities though that the men do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true. And you probably remember this moment. And I had a podcast with Jimmy Warnicky, and we were talking about it. And I said, you know, the moment I knew Sam was Sunday talent was the game against Alton his senior year, and that touchdown catch in the corner of the end zone. That defender on Alton had him. That ball was—he was in front of Sam, and Sam jumps over the top of him. Athletic defender on Alton, and Sam jumps over the top of him and just snatches the ball like that. I'd never seen a catch like that in my life,
especially not in high school.
And when I mentioned that play, all I had to say was, Jimmy, I think the play in Alton. He goes, I know what play you're talking about. He got all animated in the office, and like, absolutely.
It doesn't take much to get Jimmy animated.
That's true.
Talking about that, but you're right. I remember that. And again, Roddy, that was our first broadcast. So, I that's just the thing. Also, is I had a phone call. I'd never met Dennis. I had never
really
up until that point. No, and then eventually, I went out to his house. I was with Sean and Chris and Jeremy, and was on the barbershop one, but I don't think I'd met him before that, and I didn't realize that. I didn't either.
I didn't know that.
And then we ended up, when he was up here the one time for a wedding, we had him up in the booth at halftime and did an interview with him, and him and Bonnie, great people.
Yep.
Their son Jason and their daughter Jamie, great people, and Jamie's husband Tim, and Jason's wife, and now I'm going to draw a blank. This is not good. they're all just really good people.
In fact, I think one time Dennis's daughter ran the board during one of our games.
She did.
Yeah.
She ran it when he was up.
Yes, that's what it was. Yep, I remember. So I remember first time I talked to her, but again, things just went smooth because after you get into a habit of doing stuff and you get that routine, it's it makes it a little easier. And that's the other thing is Dennis always made you. He may have been panicking on his end, in his basement or in Texas in his closet, wherever it was. But he never really gave that off to you during commercials or during that something was. He may tell you, "Hey, I got to take care of this," but
I'm working on it.
Yeah,
I'm getting it back.
He may have been frantic for all we know, but he didn't give that to us
and expose that to us,
and that made it a lot easier on our end.
I agree.
How's his wife doing? Is his wife doing all right?
Bonnie is doing pretty well. Obviously. Some moments which anybody's going to have. His oldest grandson, Matthew, had some. It was rough on him because he was old enough to know what it meant, and it was just Nicole. Her name's Nicole. Anyway, it was. Doing as good as you can expect with what's all gone on.
I remember when we would go out there. We was always do it in the evening. We were catching them. Right after supper or something. So, the physically fit guy I am would go in there and I can smell or she'd make cookies or something. And she'd have
her
in the basement down there. So I'll definitely miss that.
She made all the desserts for our youngest daughter's wedding that we had.
Is that right?
And,
sweetheart.
All her desserts, she could start her own business right there.
But they were engaged. That's what's really impressive to me is, a New Jersey guy or an East Coast guy and gets relocated out here and boy, he just submerged himself in the community. And so, and it's not just, he's working full time, he's got to, he retires and gets the station going. I go into Trubai and he's out there bringing a bell for Salvation Army. And I'm like, look at this guy. He's involved in the community, doing
He got involved down in Texas. His church, they have a group of men, and I can't tell you what this stands for, but there is a meeting. They call themselves Romeo, and they would eat breakfast. I believe it was every Saturday morning, but then they would also go hand out food at a food pantry. And he jumped right in down there, got involved. And when he would talk to me about that, you could just hear the excitement in his voice that he was happy to be with that group of guys. We got to meet a few of them when we were down there. All just two of them spoke. At the funeral.
Yeah,
I was going to say that's a great point, Dennis. That what Dennis would do. Now, Sean, you grew up in Highland. Chris, did you grow up?
I grew up in Tribe, but I lived in Highland.
Okay. And Jeremy, did you?
No. I was around enough.
Yeah.
The jailhouse and stuff, but yeah.
a guy that had no connections whatsoever, and like you said, gets relocated here and does this and gets something like this started, that now, in lots of ways, over the past, odd years it's been, helps bring a community together during certain times of the year. It's just amazing that something like that happened. You think to yourself, you don't know anybody, you're just there, and all of a sudden you're bringing the community together.
It did kind of bite him a little trying to get sponsors by not being from Highland. And I'm not ripping Highland here. That's any small town, You're an outsider, and it took a little. But he was making headway there. We picked up some like Woodcrest and a few others, and it was starting to grow with that. And he did this, as you said, for the love of it, because he did not make money running the station.
And I think that was figured out, unfortunately, more towards the tail end, how that, it wasn't just this guy trying to, make a bunch of money here.
Right.
But I think it took people a little bit to realize what was going on here. And then
the
more word of mouth was spreading about what these guys, especially with the sports, what you guys were all doing. Once that started to get going, but I think it was coming in, I think it was hitting that point where, oh, okay, I see what this is about.
This is about community.
Yes.
This isn't about me making
money absolutely.
Here. Doing something I love, but also helping the community at the same time.
But I also think, though, what helped with that, too, is having the familiar voices on the radio, you know, such as yourself and Darren and my Chris. Like, you know, if you're around Highland enough, these, you know, are all people that you're probably going to cross paths with
right.
at some point.
Right.
And I think that helped with getting the word out on it too.
Yeah.
Was he went out and he got people involved that he knew that
very true
that could help.
Very true.
Well, and I think that's smart in that business too, you know.
Yes.
That was what he should have been doing.
Absolutely.
So
he was good at connecting with people. You guys mentioned COVID earlier, that black spot in our calendars, and I don't think that helped with the growth of the radio show because you have that blip in time where nothing was happening. Well, one of the last things that I think our Highland Masonic Lodge, just so I clarify that, we had a trivia night like the weekend before COVID decided to shut everything down, and it was me and Dennis that spearheaded it.
Yep.
And it was a great night. We had a good turnout. He helped me do everything with that. But then directly after that, silence.
Yeah.
I think it was that weekend right before St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And
something
then the
like
18th,
that, yeah.
I think they shut yeah. everything down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it that shut down for quite a while before anybody could get back to being.
We haven't had a trivia night there since that. That
no,
was the last one.
That was
one.
The last one. You are correct.
But he had a thirst for that local programming. And
yes.
When that dissipated with you guys, he started talking to me about podcasting. He knew I was dabbing in that. And so I worked with him a little to try to get him up to speed on that and gave him a few pointers. And
yeah, you guys are using terms I had no idea what you were talking about.
he had such a thirst for that. He's like, well, look, give me your podcast, Dan. I'll air those. And so he started airing my shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I said, well, hell, let's do a weekly, right?
And that was great.
Let's do a recap and do it weekly because I was only dabbing in podcasting. The same reason Dennis was getting into radio. I just wanted to be doing something, and so I kind of made it up. So he started narrowing those because of that thirst for the community and trying to aid the community and stuff. So I was real appreciative of him taking that on.
You know, we were talking about how the station didn't make any money. He wasn't in it for that. We were talking outside before we started this about the station wouldn't make any money, yet Dennis insisted on paying us
yes.
to go and broadcast games. And
yes.
I'd get mad when I'd get a check in the mail because I was like, I'm going to be there anyway. I'm going to go and watch the game. We were talking about I get a bottle of water for free and I get in for free. That's enough. I don't. But yet Dennis, he insisted.
Absolutely
he insisted.
You were actually physically angry.
I just said to you, I did cash the check. I was a couple of times he would ask, hey, did you get my, you know, he'd make sure that you got it.
Well, because one time it was 4 months and I still hadn't got one. So he cut me another one.
Yeah.
And I got that one. And then about another month and a half later, then the first one he sent came.
That's,
and I said, Dennis, I got it, but I'm going to burn it.
Yeah.
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 You would send them though. I never asked for pay. And I never asked, you know, hey, I didn't get a check. You know, it's just like, hey, if it shows up, it'll show up.
I had to fill in for you, Rodney, this past football season for a game.
I was having a lot of dizziness.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he sent me a check for that one. I'm like, what are you doing? I just sat up there for a couple hours and talked to Denny and watched the game.
And you helped me one night or day on a doubleheader with football or baseball. You were able to do the first game.
Yeah.
You know, I was with Adam Kozier, with Kurt Barker, Ben Malosi.
I did a couple days.
Sean. And then the last year was with young Donnie Gunner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's a principal.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And so he made maybe four or five, six of the games. Great to work with and fun. But then we asked you if you wanted to, because you can do a baseball game by yourself, but that interaction is always something comes up that people like to hear.
I give you guys a heads up for the play-by-play, because I tried it with you with baseball, and That's not easy.
Baseball's the roughest, in my opinion. That's the hardest one to
try. See, don't wait, dead air.
Yeah.
For me, that was the easiest.
You're supposed to drink beer the entire time. That's what helps.
I don't think Glick Park would have appreciated that.
Is my told
the Suda would know.
Yeah,
it is.
And the fans, I was doing a baseball game in Muskuta and forgot my water. And here, Adam Muni's mom sees that, you know, I just made a comment on the air or something, like, it's pretty hot out here, get pretty dry. Boom, brings me a water. You know, she was actually listening and watching. And that was great. It made me feel good.
You know? I used to do that all the time.
You would text me about that, and you'd be...
Yeah, so when I was... So, a lot of times I would photograph the football games.
Okay, yeah.
And I would usually... And when I do that, I typically stand on the visitor sidelines. And the reason for that is so that way the Highland stuff is in the background. So, when I do that, I would listen to the game, to you guys. And the reason I would do that is sometimes when you're there, right in the middle of it, and something happens, you don't... And I'm looking through a lens, so I'm looking through a very small field of view. So if something happens elsewhere on the field and a flag's thrown or something like that, I can't see what happened. So I would listen to the games, even though it was a little bit delayed. But
right.
Then I would still at least know what was going on or why certain things were called. So.
Interesting. You improvise at times in that booth, and Dennis will work with
you
on it.
Yes, we definitely have to do that.
My favorite one was our last game last season. We were up there north, what's that town by Joliet?
You were in New Lenox.
New Lenox, and we're getting all prepped for the game and everything, and I was like, Roddy, you got a roster for these guys?
They didn't hand any rosters.
They didn't have any rosters, so I sent one of the Bulldog TV crew. I said, hey, go find me a roster for the game, will you? He comes back out and said, they won't print any.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
they did not have a roster.
So I'm talking to Dennis, and I said, Dennis, I think I'm going to broadcast a game without saying the name of one opponent.
Yeah, you need a number.
In our position, you know.
Yeah.
You know, running back goes left. Yeah. You know, as the PA guy's going, I'm picking up some of the names with the numbers. But Dennis is like, yeah, do the best you can. That's fine.
You know what I found? I think it was the last year that I broadcast, I figured out that because Dennis is doing this and it's about Highland, I kind of gave up on worrying about when the opponent had the ball. Instead, I started worrying about which Bulldog player was making a tackle.
Right.
You know, and I would just maybe say, quarterback spins and gives to the first man through, and then give Chase Packett with the tackle, because that's who the Bulldog fans who are listening to, that's what they wanted to hear anyway. I gave up on worrying about what the opponents were doing more, and I had a lot more enjoyable time doing that, because you just felt like, you know, that's...
Well, it's hard. You're trying to find a name real quick, because you can't remember it all in football. There's
and,
too many.
And by, especially by that late in the season, you're going to see a number of the Highland player, and you already know, to look at your roster, you know who that player is. And so, that helped a lot. And going kind of related to that, there were times when we would get inquiries or we'd put something out so that the visiting team could listen to Bulldog Radio as well. And we'd get compliments from the opponent because it was provided, because they don't have anything to provide for themselves as well there. So, you know, a broadcast. So kudos to Dennis for doing this whole thing. And it shows that it goes out beyond Highland. It would go to the opponent team as well.
Before he moved to Texas, I had a bunch of his business cards, and I would take them to the games because, like Mike said, somebody would say, oh, well, who are you with? And I'd tell them, and give them the card, and I said, just pull this up. They can listen
that's
to
probably what I got. Yeah, that's maybe what I think they did give me a business card and said, yeah, just call him. He'll work with you.
But then once he moved down there, well, you know, I ran out of them. And we had the banners for a while for football.
Business cards that say Rodney Knaxted.
Oh, no. Do not have the time that Dennis had to put into that.
Yeah, that's the sad thing going on right now is, you know, where does it pick up? And, you know, I certainly have aspirations and
you would be great.
In reality, he has spoken to me a few times to buy it off him and to buy everything off him. I'm just not in a position to do that at this point in my life. I always say, Dennis, if you were 2 years from now, 3 years from now, max, maybe I can work it out.
And it could be. I know talking with Jamie and Bonnie, they're going to try to keep the music playing. And, you know, I don't know how many years you buy the songs and stuff for, but I know, you know, Dennis went to country, then switched back. And so from what they told me, they plan on keeping the music playing because they can do that automated.
Right.
But, you know, Bonnie has no interest in learning the new board that he has. And Jamie has two young kids playing sports and doesn't have the time. So
we'll stew on it for a while and maybe something will brew. But
they tried to send the equipment home with me when I was down there. And Chris was really pushing hard for me to take it.
Well, fellas, this has been fun.
It has. Reminiscing. I can't believe an hour went by already. Yeah. Seems like we started.
Yeah,
great. And all these familiar faces, it's just great to see everybody again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now that we're not in the booths and stuff, it's just different.
Jeremy, if I'd been properly prepared, I would have had 12 ounces for you.
That's all right. I had a couple of way over.
He just wanted to be loose, right?
Right.
Any final thoughts from anybody before we wrap up?
The only thing I'll say is I got several texts from people that listen to us all the time saying the people of Highland are really going to miss what he did with the Highland Sports and probably didn't realize what they had until now that they don't have it.
I would just like to say how appreciative I think I was and the whole community was and of him bringing it, kind of bringing that enthusiasm and that camaraderie with the town and the school getting together. That's, you know, small town, United States small town usually centers around the school and the school's athletics, and I think there's no better example than in Highland, and he kind of brought all that together by doing this Bulldog Radio. So hopefully, one way or another, it does continue. I know, like you said, kind of right now it's in the up in the air, but hopefully there's a way where it can continue.
Yeah, it would be nice. I was looking forward to the baseball season this year. I knew they were bringing back a lot of people, and apparently they have started off very good, and they should be good this year.
That's the well put, Smarge. I agree 100% with what you said and how he kind of brought it in. How fortunate we were as broadcasters that Highland was peaking in so many sports. I mean, this has been a terrific period of athletics for Highland across the board. I mean, you had some really exciting basketball games, and football has been unbelievable. Baseball's always been competitive with Joel. So you're right, Smart. Just a treasure to be appreciated for what he brought to Highland in that regard.
I would have liked to say thanks to Bonnie and to Dennis as well for, you know, they opened their house up to us. We went out to these people's homes and went down there and did our show. And for Dennis giving me the opportunity to get it, I mean, I now have my own thing going, doing that as well. So that was somewhere for me to start, and I kind of learned that podcast radio world stuff. And so having the opportunity to kind of get, you know, a little familiar with that and stuff, so I appreciated the opportunity with it and stuff, so I was appreciative of that.
Very well, thanks for including Bonnie in that, because behind the scenes, there was a lot going on with her, and so...
She had to sacrifice for him to be able to sit there and board for 2 hours, 2.5 hours for a basketball game, or football game, or whatever it might be, so...
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if I couldn't get through to Dennis, I would text Bonnie, and then she would relay, you know, and... sometimes she was helping him try to fix the problem, you know.
And Sean and Chris, you know, kudos for the, and Darren, I'm sorry, for the sponsorship over the years, being charter sponsors and sticking with it. You know, a very key component of
Of
radio.
You know, when he walked in the door for the first time, but honestly, what sold me with it was when I, because, I mean, Chris, Darren, you guys know we get a lot of offers for different types of sponsorships.
Probably. I mean, solicitation.
but a lot of times we get solicited from outside the area, and we never really know if something's is connected or not, or if it's real, you know. So honestly, what sold me was that the fact that he had a Highland address, and he was, you know, he was here in town. He named it Bulldog Radio. I'm like, okay, so this really is for Highland, or this really is for our, you know, for the people in this community. In which case, okay, I'm in. But I mean, you guys know.
It was definitely a spark. Dennis was a spark that started something that I think's, I hope it's going to live for a good amount of time. We'll see what happens. I'm very appreciative of him just reaching out and getting me involved and just doing the things that we did. Bonnie, of course, she was very welcoming. We had to go in, like, on weeknights, we'd go in there, had their dinner or whatever.
And Jeremy's had six beers by that point.
She took good care of us down there.
And she is a hostess, yes.
And it just, I think he's started a really good thing. And his hospitality, his friendship, and I'm also very thankful you guys were wanted. These guys were so energetic to do this, and it's my fault that Dennis wasn't even aware that we were showing up tonight to do this.
Not necessarily.
We scheduled it and just showed up, and he was so. I mean, his hospitality is pretty awesome to set this up and get it going. And
yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, this is. I've been looking forward to it since we talked a few weeks ago. I was like, it's like, yeah, this will be fun.
Surprise!
There's a lot of people out in front of our house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we should wrap things up and get this on to. I'll get it out there on wherever you hear your podcast. If you want to listen again. After you hear it on Bulldog Radio, tune in, Spotify, Amazon, all of them, they'll have it. And so, thanks, fellas. And if nothing else, I'm perhaps reach out and see about another podcast episode here or there, and at least keep some kind of a remembrance going on. And we'll see what happens with BulldogRadioHighland.com. So, for the gang here, I'm Denny Rittenhouse, and thanks a lot.
You know, a lot of these stories, you live through them.